Hello, everyone. This is the Entrepreneur Show with Asa Laveau. I am your host today, Asa Laveau. I am your queer host, your pansexual host, your omnisexual host, but also your entrepreneur or entrepreneur host. If this is your first time even hearing the term entrepreneur, this is your first time being introduced to who I am, what this is all about, let me just give you a little bit of information. So, again, this is the Entrepreneur Show. Yes, it is a term that I created. It did not exist at all before I said, you know, we're doing entrepreneur. But what exactly is it? Well, I wanted to come up with a term that really positioned and stated that intersection of divine queerness and business. So for those of us who are, we have a dream about supporting people and supporting people that results in a monetary exchange, not just any exchange. We know what, we're specific, a monetary exchange. But we also happen to think that people that are born with the same organs as us are kind of cute. So that's what this entire platform is for, is so that queer identified people, those of us in the LGBTQ plus arena, feel supported, and not a place where we're just tolerated, but a place where we are actually celebrated. Because in this moment, my experience and my reality is there just aren't a lot of places for us to feel as celebrated, not just as we want to, but as we deserve. That is the point of this. And I don't want to do this alone. I have no desire to just have a podcast with my own voice, because I believe that there are so many experiences that add to the richness of what I said, to be divinely queer in business. So many voices, and I'm going to do my best to bring those voices on as the only podcast that is dedicated to ensuring divinely queer people and business, that intersection is a real place. Yeah, I really desire to bring people on, and I get to do that today. I get to bring on somebody who I have been connected with for a while, I'd say almost a year, or if not more than a year. And what I have seen from this person is that he has a commitment. He has a real life audacity to excellence in the way of getting people's stories out into the world. Some of you may not know, but I've written and published 5 books so far, working on releasing book number 6, which launches in spring of 2020, called Black and Queer, with the subtitle being There's More Than Sugar in My Tank. That comes out in spring. And so it is a joy to have somebody on that understands the author experience, and to even have you, yes, you, stop looking around the car. I'm talking about you. You, yes, you, to let you know that your story is totally needed, desired, wanted, because there's somebody else that's growing up that's like you, or even not like you, that could benefit from hearing your experiences, knowing how you got over the thing that could have took somebody else out, the thing that could have put somebody else in a mental ward, the thing that could have had somebody else take their life. You came through it, and you continuously come through it with grace and ease. And somebody needs to know that. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you the individual that makes that happen, not just for himself, but for other authors in this space. Without further ado, I bring to you Mr. Kenny Jones. How are you, Kenny?
Oh my gosh, we are here. I'm excited. Thank you so much for that amazing introduction. Oh my goodness.
You are most welcome. I think we all deserve to be introduced as the divine being that we are. So, of course, like that's just guaranteed. That just happens. So,
Thank you
please,
so much.
so in your own words, of course, I introduced you, but in your own words, please tell the listeners what exactly you do for people.
Hey everyone. I am Kenny Jones. Most people know me as the Comeback Kid. I am an openly proud, openly gay Black male author, international best-selling author who really helps people get back to their resilient roots by owning their story, whether that's a shameful space, your resilient roots, the things that make you who you are. We get to the down and gritty parts of that and make that into an international best-selling book. Because one of the things that I fundamentally believe, as one of our great community members has said, community member Zora Neale Hurston said, if you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoyed it. Right?
Very, very
So
real.
that quote for me. And as we know, Zora was part of our community. And so that quote for me really revitalized what I thought about story. And so when I wrote Comeback Season, I recognized people who were doing incredible entrepreneurial work, had great businesses. And I'm talking about amazing, amazing businesses. But I also realized that so many people were interested in who they were and who that person was before they got to that space. So that's what I do.
Now you say you've been deemed the comeback kid. So are you saying that there's something significant that you've come back from?
Oh my. Oh my goodness. 1,000%. And being, and I want to be candid here, being a part of the LGBTQ community and being Black and being man, being identifying as man, male definitely brings its own systems of things that we go through. But personally, being homeless for 2 years, trying to figure out how I was going to find my next meal, having two master degrees and not knowing what my next job was going to be, understanding and recognizing what it feels like to lose your father and my grandmother in the same week, and only knowing my father for 10 years. Growing up in a single parent home in the projects, and trying to figure out my way, and even coming out and being bullied and all of those parts of my life, losing my career publicly, quote unquote, for an incredibly big misunderstanding. I mean, so many things that were a part of my life I was hiding and did not want to talk about. And I realized that it was those moments that made me stronger. And it was those moments that made me the person that I was, because it was the resilience that I was able to tap into that catapulted the moment that made me write this book. So absolutely, lots of things that I've come back from.
Okay, so we need to hear that, and we need to, we really do, because my thing is with being, gay, queer, lesbian, trans, there are so many stories that add to the richness of your existence, about the experiences you've been a part of, and to know that you really can't come back from that. And you're even suggesting that you just don't come back, but you could actually cash in on your comeback.
And that's the beauty of it, right? It's like when you look at a lot of people who are in business, right? Because we're talking about business-minded people, and those of us that are looking to create businesses, we always have to recognize that we live in a world that everything is accessible. People will always have opinions about who you are as a person, and they're always trying to figure out who you are as a person. And so a lot of we're in a world that people are going to do their own research anyway. So why not utilize those moments to create wealth for yourself and being able to ensure that people are hearing your story in the way that you can only you can tell it. So yeah, absolutely.
So you had mentioned about, you know, going into projects and, you know, identifying as being gay, you know, for a while. Can you, for someone that may not understand the complexities of growing up in a underserved area of town that has its own socioeconomic level, what types of things would, you know, a Black gay kid endure growing up in the projects?
You know, it's funny that you ask that, Ethan, because we always assume that people just get it and they just understand our experience, particularly if you grew up with us, which ironically seems to be the hardest audience to get to. So, first of all, growing up in a community or in a place that was underserved as I did, you don't know a lot of the sort of knowledge that it would take to be understanding and to sort of empathize, because a lot of what we know has been passed down from somebody's grandma or somebody's aunt or somebody preacher or something like that. So, you know, like for me, it is like those moments helped me realize that educating them about what it was like to not feel belonged anywhere. I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. I couldn't go to the Black church because I was an abomination to God. I couldn't be with the guys on the corner because they thought I was too feminine or flamboyant and using the F word, right, all of the time, and tried to make me fight boys all of the time because they thought that that was going to make me straight or to make me more masculine. Couldn't really talk in my family about, you know, any of the guys that I was dating because I was expected to bring home girls and to be married and, you know, all these other things. So there was no place in my neighborhood that I all felt 100% where I belong. Also, I'll be 40 this year. So I grew up in a time where being Black and gay was extremely, extremely hard. The 90s, where HIV and AIDS was super rampant, and people were afraid of us. And so that sort of compounded the experience growing up, because that was the formative years of puberty for me. That was my teen. So, you know, it was an incredibly hard struggle. And then struggling with figuring out, like, what we were going to eat, right? So being in a impoverished space and also recognizing that I'm battling these battles in five different areas of my neighborhood and still feeling the love from my mom, who tried her best to, you know, create an atmosphere where I was fed and clothed, right? So all of that was sort of the experience for us, you know, and I don't know if you agree with that experience, but certainly that was what it was for me.
And I totally not just agree with the experience, there are parts of your story that I lived. So I definitely remember being in sixth grade, and I guess sixth grade was like the split, because my elementary school, sixth grade was the top grade. And and because the way that the district was lined up, my neighborhood was pretty Black, but we went to a predominantly white school. So all the Black dudes sit together. And so in sixth grade, earlier on, we realized that, at our table, you can only have six chairs to a table. And there are seven of us. And so, like, I guess the guy, the leader of the Black boys, he was like, one of y'all got to go.
Oh, boy.
And basically, over a week process, pitted me against another non-alpha male, to the point that the guy, I guess he started to feel like he needed to, you know, get his spot. And so he said something very crass about my mother, very crass. And then I was like, all right, bet. Let's just do it. Like, let's just do it. If we got to do all this, let's just do it. Now yeah. We went to the bathroom and I whooped his entire ass.
His you gotta entire. Do it. You gotta do it.
My thing was, look, I'm cool. Just let me play with my spirograph. Let me read my Sherlock Holmes book.
Yeah.
Let me watch Designing Women and Golden
Come
Girls.
On, designer.
By myself, and I won't bother you, and I won't make you look like the elephant man after the bathroom engagement with me. Leave
that's the part.
Just leave me alone. I'm good. But nah, you wanna bring Asa out. Well, Asa says hello, and here I am. So I totally understand that.
Here we go.
I totally get that. And so I thank you for sharing that. And the fact that you say you're 40, I actually been thinking the entire time that you are younger than me.
But
that's a thing. Black don't crack. You've been drinking water. Kudos to you. I really thought you were younger than me. Like, I thought you were like maybe 30.
Oh, wow. So, thank you. Well,
so
you
kudos
know,
to you.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's interesting, Asa, that you know, my age, I always make a point to tell people how old I am because of I am very self-aware that not a lot of people will believe how old I am because that to me is a part of my story and is a part of how I gain a lot of my wisdom. You know, I'm a part of what is called the middle child generation or maybe the forgotten generation. We were born in 1980, right? And so in a lot of our formative years, a lot of the transition happened, you know, with the internet and social media and how we date and even the way people sort of accepted our sexuality, right? And so when puberty hit, when all the boys were super sexy, you could not tell anybody, and everybody we messed with was on a DL. Everybody. Every single person, right? And then... When you sort of couple that with socialization and what's cool and what's not and what the rules are, you know, we sort of struggle right now even on social media because we still sort of are trying to figure it out. But our stories sort of are coming out, and that is where we find our strong points, you know. And being where I am now in my life, I find that so many more people struggle with owning their entire story, and I'm okay with being that vessel.
And I'm glad that you mentioned the forgotten or generation or the middle generation, because there really is a difference. So because I've been told that I don't look 36 right now, I get a lot of energy from people who are 19, 20, 21, 22. And when they just desire to interact with me romantically, I'm saying, you know, I would really like to hear your voice. I haven't heard your voice in 3 weeks, and somehow you think that's cool. And I'm like, I'm just about to tap out of this possibility, because I am of the generation where we would listen to Video Soul while H-Town was on in the background, or Black Sheep was on in the background.
Yeah.
And I'm on a house phone in the den, muffling my voice, talking
about
no, you
right,
saying no, you go to sleep, and it's like midnight on a school night, and I'm singing the words like, before I let you go, can I get a kiss good night over
here.
The phone?
Did your mama pick up the phone and say, are you still on this phone?
Well, luckily by that time, because I'm the oldest of five kids, we had a dedicated phone line in the den.
We was
good. So we had a chain of daycare centers, and so by that time,
some of your audience gonna relate to both of us on that though.
Right. So when someone says to me, you know, they just like texting or they don't understand phone calls, or when they actually start adjusting to who I am, they're like, wow, I've been on the phone for an hour. This is crazy. And I'm thinking, being on the phone for an hour, is that called normal? Like, when did that become like an ancient practice?
Here's the other thing, right? Here's the thing that, you know, and keeping it like, let's bridge the gap to business. This is the thing that I find, and I'd love your opinion on this, because
you know, like you said in your intro, we've been connected for about a year or so, but you know how many times we see, for those of you who are listening, how many times we see on Facebook or in our circles, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs who sort of bring their homophobia in their business. And that's a lot of toes, I think, that people don't want to talk about, right? So it's like, we have this discussion about the heterosexual Black male, and sort of when you see these Black male empowerment conferences and things of that nature, when you ask questions about, you know, who...
Talk about it, talk about it.
I'm going to go there. You sort of start asking questions about, like, who the audience is, and then, you know, are there LGBTQ-friendly topics? And they're like, well, you know, we, right? It's like, oh. But as soon as you see the lineup, it's like, oh. So I'm going to really be either preached to or sort of seen as, like, this is what I need to do to be a quote-unquote man.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to our good Judies, our friend girls, who we love y'all to down, trust. And we love the work you're doing for women, but we don't have a space there because it's all for women.
Right.
So then it's like, oh, okay. Then where do we go?
Good. Great question.
Where is the allies then, right? So it's a very fine line when you raise this issue to our own Black business owners.
So I have a lot to say about that. I have a lot to say. First off, let's start with the race part. And let me preface this by saying, any of this conversation, any of this, by anyone that may be listening, any of this conversation has everything to do with letting another individual on earth know that they are not alone in their experience. This has nothing to do with complaining. This has nothing to do with beating anybody down or being stuck in our frustration. None of that is real. I'm very much of the school of Abraham Hicks and being in the vortex and being in the flow and understanding that Eckhart Tolle said the power of now. And I'm understanding all of that. And I still get to say that my experience, the way I've lived it up until this age, is significant and real and has the ability to be versed and articulated over time and continually. So with that being said, let's talk about race in the entrepreneurial space and what that looks like. A lot of times is if you are going to an event that has a lineup with all white faces, Black individuals and brown individuals and people of other nationalities will come no questions asked. But the moment you put the lineup with majority Black faces, or only Black faces, that's when the direct messages come. That's when the emails come asking, maybe this isn't for me. Or I was thinking that, you know, I mean, this is more like a minority space. So I'm probably not going to be welcomed. And I'm like, well, who told you that? Why did you self-select or self-opt out of the experience? Because now you aren't at the forefront. I have an issue with that. The same way that you just talked about how if you are a person of color, now we're bringing it even further down or more being more dissected. If you are a person of color within the entrepreneurial world, and let's just say the overall entrepreneurial world, and I think there has been a definite shift over time. The 70s, 80s, 90s, total men, hetero Black men were running the space. Now, since the early 2000s, and now you have heterosexual Black women running it. And I am friends with most of them. When I say friends, like I have them on my phone, I can reach out to them. I have a relationship with them. They know me. I know them.
Yep.
However, comma, there is a underlying religion tone of all of it.
Yeah.
It says, you being queer are no longer welcome, wanted, or appreciated.
Yes.
And give us your money. Go ahead and sit on the front row when it comes down to saying your experience or living out loud and in full color.
See?
Please revert yourself back to the glitter alley of whatever city we are in at the moment.
Not the glitter. But you're absolutely right. Continue, please.
I'm just saying, I just get it. I've gotten it for some time. How even in the entrepreneurial space in Black world is a continuation of the church experience in Black world, which says we desire all of you and your gifts. However, we do not celebrate your existence in all of its capacity.
I don't think. See, you don't lose some friends from that one.
And I give I give no shit.
Yeah, because the other experience is when you try to explain this to your good girlfriends too, right? Who are in your phone, and who are actually doing those, you know, who are hosting events. Because I too have the same experience, and I love them down. But you know, when you challenge them, because it's what I would call a blind spot. Right, where they not, they're just not aware that they're sort of being exclusive in the same ways that the Black church has been, which is a lot of the reason why the Black church is, in a lot of ways, the reason for a lot of our division. But that's a different podcast.
I get it.
So now, when we think about the spaces like what you are creating and access, you know. Like our friend who, you know, who Ellen allowed to have his YouTube channel, you know, featured on his show. We call on those people to help us create that access for ourselves, right? And so that's why we thank people like yourself who can articulate these divisions and also say, you know what, I'm going to create this space for us. You know, you joked with me, for the listeners, you joked with me, you know, kind of pre-show about how excited I was about being on the show, because I truly get joy knowing that, wow, someone really has taken the torch to say, this is a space that needs to be created, so I'm going to create it. And that is, that's the lesson from what we're discussing right now, is that when you see something that's lacking, then create the space.
Exactly. Please. Yes. Don't complain all day and bitch and moan and tweet or at people. My thing is, I don't have time, or I choose not to have time to do any of that. If I don't feel loved and adored for being authentically me, what am I going to do about it? Because my thing is, I have to consider every time that that happens, there just might be another person like me who is feeling the same way.
Yep.
So, what am I going to do for me and this other human?
And that's when we hear people saying the same rhetoric of people who start business, solve a problem. Great. Okay. We all got it. We all need to solve a problem. But what happens when you're the problem? What happens when you're the problem? And you're the problem because of a myriad of experiences that you have, for whatever reason, decided to project onto others, or give yourself sort of self-defeating prophecies as to why you're not going to be enough. When new authors come to me and ask me to help them, produce and publish their books, the first thing that they usually ask me is, you know, is this going to be hard? And I'm like, no, we have to unlearn this idea that embarking on something that you want to do is going to be something hard, or whatever it is that you need to say is going to be hard, because you've already lived it. The story that you're going to write, you've already lived it. You've already been through the experiences. And so whatever you need to say, you just gotta say it. However, if it's in a book, if it's in a speech, if it's in an advocacy, if it's in a business, whatever that is, you gotta say that thing. And remove this idea that it is going to be perfect and everybody's gonna like it.
Agreed. And when you talk about the clients that you had that you've helped with getting their books out there, helping them reach bestseller status, and all of these things, what level of resiliency are you seeing in the stories or within the authors themselves before they write the book or even after they write the book?
You know, it's fascinating that I'm even surprised at how much resilience people have and they don't even realize it. This is why I am such a powerful, passionate proponent for it.
Mm-hmm.
Resilience is an untapped maybe character trait, right? When we meet someone, we don't say, hey, this is Asa. He's incredibly resilient, right? We usually are like, he's incredibly talented and smart and what have you. Because resilience comes from a place where you have to own something bad happened. And we don't do that. And so what I find is that people have so much more resilience than they realize because we come from people who have given us DNA to be resilient. That's the thing that I'm so powerfully impacted by. Like our ancestors literally were ravaged for being Black and taught themselves how to read and write on the expense of losing their lives and still was able to move themselves beyond the Underground Railroad. And, you know, there's so many moments in history where our ancestors and people who are older than us have shown resilience. And so even as a community, it is in us, but we don't tap into it. That's the part that people miss. The untapped part comes from when we sort of give ourselves these messages that somebody's going to be mad at our story, or somebody's going to judge how long our book is, or not enough people are going to read it, or whatever you're telling yourself, right? So yeah, I find that people have so much resilience. Everybody's dealing with the same stuff though. Family issues that impact you in your adult life, money issues, friend issues, significant other. We all dealing with the same stuff, everybody, right? What we're not doing though is releasing that because we're just so wrapped up in everybody's opinion. So I see so much of it that it pushes me to continue to allow more authors to come through this space.
Mm-hmm. And do you find, have you worked with any other LGBTQ authors?
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. I had one cohort during Pride. I wanted them to all be a part of the community. I mean, I've had other authors as well that were gay and or lesbian or trans even. I had this one particular cohort that I wanted to dedicate just to our community. And there were two closeted men, Black men, who wanted to be a part of the cohort. And I said, okay. So surely this is not something that I will be using to out people, but I did tell like my whole community that this cohort is going to be people of LGBTQ community. And these two men were like, but it was about our story. Like they used this as their coming out, which for me was like a different type of experience. Because I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know what to do with that. And the way that they decided to release their books was, you know, completely different, and I felt like that was fine. But that experience is one that nobody wants to talk about. You know, I think that we do a great job, and those of us that are blessed and confident enough to be out and live out loud in our own lives, and that has been great. But I think we do a great job in the media, and our youth are doing a great job in surfacing those experiences. However, when we talk about these sort of closeted experiences, they're still very taboo. So it's been an interesting experience for them.
I would love to, I guess it kind of makes sense to talk about that. I'm definitely a proponent of the idea that it doesn't matter if you are in the closet, out of the closet, building a new closet. Like, it doesn't matter to me what you're doing with that. However, when it comes to being an author, there is a level of vulnerability that you opt into. Like, you self-select yourself for a new level of vulnerability. And so what do you have to say to that person that may be listening and they are not out for one reason or another? However, they're interested in being an author. How does one affect the other?
Well, I think the one thing that I would want everyone to understand is that we all live on one earth. We all live on one planet. But there are 7.2 billion worlds. Everybody has a world of stuff that they're dealing with, right? Who you are is 100% shaped by the decisions you make. I mean, sure, there's things that you are, that you can inherit, that, you know, are personality traits. However, what your story is and what you do with that is your choice. So becoming an author, as you were saying, it is a level of vulnerability that creates a level of healing and freedom that you may not be able to get just by talking it out. Becoming an author allows you to create an outlet that can stay here for others to be changed as well. So, yeah, you're right. Not a lot of people are ready to talk about it or even be in a space to live out loud, but words have always had power. We think about words and language and expression and what we use those words for, and we always have things that we go back to in a book. So you have no idea how many more lives that you will change just by becoming an author, and how you shape that story is all on you.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very valid point. And so because that you expressed the reasoning behind the possibility of being an author, and we now understand your background with it, can you tell us what possibility for the person listening, like, how, if I wanted to become an author, like, how do I go about that with you? If I wanted to, you to be the person that led me or held my hand through that experience.
Yeah, I am super accessible. You can find me on my website, www.kjspeakseasy.com. That's kjspeakseasy.com. There's a contact me form there. My team will be able to get that information and we get back to you within 24 hours. Or you can find me on Facebook, Kenny Jones. I am Ace's friend, so if you're Ace's friend, you can find me through his friend list. And on Instagram at KJ_speaks easy. Any one of those ways, you can reach out to me and then we will contact you and move from there. But I would love, 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 love to welcome all of you into the Comeback family. We are a great family. The ways in which we support each other comes from this very, very real space of understanding that we have to support each other. Like, mm-hmm. Trump's running the country, and we live in a world that is super divisive and super comparative, and social media is destroying our sense of self-worth. And so the small communities and the spaces that encourage you to be you is so, so paramount. So we would love, love, love to chat with you to get your story out here.
Great. So let me break that down for the listener. So you're listening to us. You know for a fact that there's a story in you. You feel some type of way when people are going live, talking about their book, the book they're a part of, or the book that's coming. You literally feel some kind of way. And you don't feel some kind of way because you're hating on them. You feel some kind of way because you know that the call, the joy, the dream that you have upon yourself in the way of writing a book is real, and you haven't done a goddamn thing with it. So I am saying on Kenny's behalf, stop tripping. Stop out being out here trifling, acting like you got all the time in the world to write your book, because guess what? It's not always about you having the time writing the book. It's about the person that is needing to read the story so that they can do what they need to do with their lives. Do they have the time, or are they going to commit suicide because they feel so alone because your ass won't do what you need to do to write the book and tell the story as is, without protecting your abuser, without sugarcoating shit, and being able to profit from the pain that you have perpetually felt over years.
Oof. Oh my gosh.
So I say to you, if you are that person, the man just told you how to contact him, go on and contact him.
Well, however you needed to take it, whichever style you needed to hear it from.
While we up here playing, write the book, people. Because so many people come to me.
Out here, and Asa can attest to this. There's books out here that are bestsellers that are called I Got Pregnant by My Granddaddy's DL Boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
The white lady put raisins in the tato salad. Juan Mills, look him up. QUANMILLZ. He got books all over Amazon and best-selling everywhere, but you worry about your story not being listened.
Right. Now, I am of the school of, we need to make sure this book is well done. That means edited.
Yes.
Formatted properly.
Yes.
For the book. You cannot ebook format a paperback.
Come on here.
And about owning your own ISBN, owning the copyright to your business, actually having an ISBN, so that it is a book and not a booklet.
And you're registered at the Library of Congress.
Thank you. All these things matter. They matter.
There's legal things. You just can't just put your words out. You gotta do it right, correctly.
Right. Because are you going to write a collection of blogs, or are you going to write a book?
Come on here.
So please understand that, right, and please understand that we are saying this with all love. We're not wanting you to be out here looking crazy. I have seen too many books, or too many authors coming up to me and say, Asa, you know, you have your book in Walmart, you have your book in Target. I just want to know, do you think that this book can do it? And my thing is, they just show me the cover. And my thing is, a lot of times people take my headshot out of context. They think because I smile all the time, I can't give you the honest God truth. And I will let you know within 2 seconds, that's garbage. Do it again.
It's fine. Just do it again. Because you're going to want your stuff out here. Same thing, you know, when I got into Barnes & Noble, people was like, oh, well, you wrote an autobiography about yourself. And I was like, actually, I didn't. if you read, it's not an autobiography. As a matter of fact, it's an actual tool that people use. And, you know, and that's the other thing about books, right? So it's like this idea of I have to just write, you know, I'm writing something that has actual tools and you put a journal in the book. No. People have to be able to say that I learned something and I have been able to utilize what I've learned from what I've read into practical life. That is also a part of when you are writing something that is of quality and is going to be of respect. See, because the thing that you also have to understand, unfortunately, we live in a superficial world and people judge your stuff by the quality in which you present it.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if you're like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm not of the system, and that's all fine and well and good and dandy, but we live in a world, unless you are in some other, you know, some other island that you live without this civilization, but we live in a world that is superficial. So you must do your things of quality and you must do it correctly.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And also, since we're speaking to queer identified entrepreneurs right now, please understand these bitches out here are evil.
Ain't they? It's shady. Hey, community, why we got y'all attention? Stop it.
Right. Because let's just be clear. Of course, we desire to manifest certain things. We desire operate in love. We desire to support people where they are and where they're going. And then, you know, you go to the little gay spot where your town is or wherever you want to go, and somebody's talking about something that somebody came out, whether it be a pop-up shop, a t-shirt line, a fragrance line, a book, a business.
Yeah.
And people get real catty about what they see. However, I will say, people always give props, too. So if something is fire, it's fire.
Oh,
like
it's fire.
Like it's just fire. So
it's
like
fire.
Me myself, I'm going to shoot my book cover tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I understand. Now this is my sixth book. Of course, mm-hmm. I understand. It ain't too many folks out here that's doing that many number of books. And I get that. And I'm in certain venues and stores. I get that too. And at the same time, I'm thinking, this is the first book where I'm actually coming for the queer identified community.
Uh-oh.
Not just the queer identified community, but the Black and queer identified community. I'm talking to y'all.
We need to talk to y'all.
So
everybody come up in this room and sit down.
So the fact that I'm talking to y'all, I'm like, okay, have to make sure that this book cover is on point. So that's why I got to have a makeup stylist. That's why I got to have a photographer and not somebody trying to shoot with a dog on camera phone.
Stop it with the ass phone.
Like, no.
Book covers,
no. Like, so, like, I have to get, this will be of quality. Like, just so you know, like, it took me 6 months. 6 months just to find a location. Why? Because I wanted a rose covered wall.
Mm-hmm.
A whole wall, nothing but roses.
And we're gonna wait on it until
I'm gonna wait till I get it. But I finally got it. It's tomorrow. So I'm excited about that. And so thank you. Let them know, are you working on anything in particular, either for a client or for yourself?
Oh wow. So I am working on two things, actually. So this year, Comeback Season 2 will come out. I'm excited.
Nice.
Comeback Season 2, The Turning Point. This is my second book. From this incredible experience in the last 2 years, I've been able to meet some awesome, awesome individuals. Jemiah Drummond Bay, who, love her down. She's so amazing. She's a TED Talk specialist. She's so great. Tawana Ross, the LinkedIn professor. Like, just, I've had some incredible.
Love Tawana.
She's just, love Tawana. Amazing woman. But as I've started, you know, even yourself and, you know, again, just incredible entrepreneurs through this space. But I've also realized I've always wanted to know, what was that turning point for you? And what was that moment where you were like, you know what, this is going to go this way? There, everybody sort of had a moment where you made a choice and it was the turning point of your career. And so we're going to highlight that in this book. And so all of them are a part of it. And so that's coming out this year. And then we're rolling cohort 14 and for the Comeback Kids.
Nice.
So reach out to me. And the 100th author will come out of this cohort. So we have something celebratory, something special for that particular author. So I'm excited about that. And so those are the two things I'm working on.
Okay, that's really great. And you guys have already found out and know how to reach out to him. So if you desire to be a part of cohort 14, this is your time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, go follow him at KJ_SpeaksEasy. That's KJ_SpeaksEasy. And it's the same thing for the website. It's kjspeakseasy.com. There is, don't give me any excuses why you don't have your book. So if we get to 2021,
okay,
and you feel kind of way about somebody else having a book and you listen to this episode when it came out in 2020, you have you have nothing to do with that. We have nothing to do with your animosity or your level of frustration. Because this is your time to make this magic happen for you. So, Kenny, thank you for coming on to the Entrepreneur Show. We totally appreciate you spending time with us, investing time with us, and investing time into everyone that is going to be hearing this. For all of you all that are still on, please remember to subscribe. Please write a review. And it doesn't matter what your review is. I'm not out here begging for 5 stars. I would like it. I see it happening. However, if you don't have 5 stars to give, give us the stars you desire, because, and then give us information that we can use to make this a 5-star experience for you on the next episode. We desire to be better. We want nothing more for you and your betterment of your life. And as always, I am Asa Laveau, dreams and blessings.